Oh, that their best is so very small. Oh, that their worst is so very small. Thus did I laugh. Thus did my wise longing, born in the mountains, cry and laugh in me, a wild wisdom verily, my great pinion-rustling longing. And oft did it carry me off and up and away, and in the midst of laughter, then flew I quivering like an arrow with sun-intoxicated rapture. Out into distant futures, which no dream hath yet seen, into warmer souths than ever sculptor conceived, where gods in their dancing are ashamed of all clothes. That I may speak in parables and halt and stammer like the poets, and verily I am ashamed that I have still to be a poet. Where all becoming seemed to me dancing of gods and wantoning of gods, and the world unloosed and unbridled and fleeing back to itself. As an eternal self-fleeing and re-seeking of one another of many gods, as the blessed self-contradicting, re-communing, and re-fraternizing with one another of many gods. Where all time seemed to me a blessed mockery of moments, where necessity was freedom itself, which played happily with the goad of freedom. Where I also found again mine old devil and archenemy, the spirit of gravity, and all that it created, constraint, law, necessity and consequence and purpose and will and good and evil. For must there not be that which is danced over, danced beyond? Must there not, for the sake of the nimble, the nimblest, be moles and clumsy dwarfs? 3. There was it also where I picked up from the path the word Superman, and that man is something that must be surpassed. That man is a bridge and not a goal, rejoicing over his noontides and evenings as advances to new rosy dawns. The Zarathustra word of the great noontide, and whatever else I have hung up over men like purple evening afterglows. Verily also new stars did I make them see, along with new nights, and over cloud and day and night did I spread out laughter like a gay-coloured canopy. I taught them all my poetization and aspiration, to compose and collect into unity what is fragment in man, and riddle, and fearful chance. As composer, riddle, reader, and redeemer of chance, did I teach them to create the future, and all that hath been, to redeem by creating. The past of man to redeem, and every it was to transform, until the will saith, but so did I will it. So shall I will it. This did I call redemption, this alone taught I them to call redemption. Now do I await my redemption, that I may go unto them for the last time. For once more will I go unto men, amongst them will my sun set, in dying will I give them my choicest gift. From the sun did I learn this, when it goeth down, the exuberant one. Gold doth it then pour into the sea, out of inexhaustible riches. So that the poorest fisherman roweth even with golden oars, for this did I once see, and did not tire of weeping in beholding it. Like the sun will also Zarathustra go down. Now sitteth he here and waiteth, old broken tables around him, and also new tables, half written. 4. Behold, here is a new table, but where are my brethren who will carry it with me to the valley and into hearts of flesh? Thus demandeth my great love to the remotest ones, be not considerate of thy neighbour. Man is something that must be surpassed. There are many diverse ways and modes of surpassing. See thou thereto. But only a buffoon thinketh man can also be overleapt. Surpass thyself even in thy neighbour, and a right which thou canst seize upon shalt thou not allow to be given thee. What thou doest can no one do to thee again. Lo, there is no requital. He who cannot command himself shall obey, and many a one can command himself, but still sorely lacketh self-obedience. 5. Thus wisheth the type of noble souls, They desire to have nothing gratuitously, least of all life. He who is of the populace wisheth to live gratuitously. We others, however, to whom life hath given itself, we are ever considering what we can best give in return. And verily it is a noble dictum which saith, What life promiseth us, that promise will we keep to life. One should not wish to enjoy where one doth not contribute to the enjoyment, and one should not wish to enjoy. For enjoyment and innocence are the most bashful things, neither like to be sought for. One should have them, but one should rather seek for guilt and pain. 6. O my brethren, he who is a firstling is ever sacrificed. Now, however, are we firstlings. We all bleed on secret sacrificial altars. We all burn and broil in honour of ancient idols. Our best is still young. This exciteth old palates. Our flesh is tender. Our skin is only lamb's skin. How could we not excite old idol priests? In ourselves dwelleth he still, the old idol priest, who broileth our best for his banquet. Ah, my brethren, how could firstlings fail to be sacrifices? But so wisheth our type, and I love those who do not wish to preserve themselves. The down-going ones do I love with mine entire love, for they go beyond. 7. To be true, that can few be, and he who can will not. Least of all, however, can the good be true. Oh, those good ones! Good men never speak the truth, for the spirit, thus to be good, is a malady. They yield, those good ones, they submit themselves, their heart repeateth, their soul obeyeth. He, however, who obeyeth, doth not listen to himself. All that is called evil by the good must come together in order that one truth may be born. O my brethren, are ye also evil enough for this truth? The daring venture, the prolonged distrust, the cruel nay, the tedium, the cutting into the quick, how seldom do these come together. Out of such seed, however, is truth produced. Beside the bad conscience hath hitherto grown all knowledge. Break up, ye discerning ones, the old tables. 8. When the water hath planks, when gangways and railings o'erspan the stream, verily he is not believed who then saith, All is in flux. But even the simpletons contradict him. What, say the simpletons, all in flux? Planks and railings are still over the stream. Over the stream all is stable, all the values of things, the bridges and bearings, all good and evil, these are all stable. Cometh, however, the hard winter, the stream tamer, then learn even the wittiest distrust, and verily not only the simpletons then say, Should not everything stand still? Fundamentally standeth everything still. That is an appropriate winter doctrine, good cheer for an unproductive period, a great comfort for winter sleepers and fireside loungers. Fundamentally standeth everything still. But contrary thereto preacheth the thawing wind. The thawing wind, a bullock, which is no ploughing bullock, a furious bullock, a destroyer, which with angry horns breaketh the ice. The ice, however, breaketh gangways. O my brethren, is not everything at present in flux? Have not all railings and gangways fallen into the water? Who would still hold on to good and evil? Woe to us, hail to us, the thawing wind bloweth. Thus preach my brethren through all the streets. 9. There is an old illusion. It is called good and evil. Around soothsayers and astrologers hath hitherto revolved the orbit of this illusion. Once did one believe in soothsayers and astrologers, and therefore did one believe, Everything is fate, thou shalt, for thou must. Then again did one distrust all soothsayers and astrologers, and therefore did one believe, Everything is freedom, thou canst, for thou willest. O my brethren, Concerning the stars and the future, there hath hitherto been only illusion, and not knowledge. And therefore, concerning good and evil, there hath hitherto been only illusion, and not knowledge. 10. Thou shalt not rob, thou shalt not slay. Such precepts were once called holy. Before them did one bow the knee and the head, and take off one's shoes. But I ask you, where have there ever been better robbers and slayers in the world than such holy precepts? Is there not, even in all life, robbing and slaying? And for such precepts to be called holy, was not truth itself thereby slain? Or was it a sermon of death that called holy what contradicted and dissuaded from life? O my brethren, break up for me the old tables. 11. It is my sympathy with all the past that I see it is abandoned. Abandoned to the favour, the spirit, and the madness of every generation that cometh, and reinterpreteth all that hath been as its bridge. A great potentate might arise, an artful prodigy, who with approval and disapproval could strain and constrain all the past, until it became for him a bridge, a harbinger, a herald, and a cock-crowing. This, however, is the other danger, and mine other sympathy. He who is of the populace, his thoughts go back to his grandfather. With his grandfather, however, doth time cease. Thus is all the past abandoned, for it might some day happen for the populace to become master, and drown all time in shallow waters. Therefore, O my brethren, a new nobility is needed, which shall be the adversary of all populace and potentate rule, and shall inscribe anew the word noble on new tables. For many noble ones are needed, and many kinds of noble ones, for a new nobility. Or as I once said in a parable, that is just divinity, that there are gods, but no God. 12. O my brethren, I consecrate you, and point you to a new nobility. Ye shall become procreators and cultivators and sowers of the future. Verily, not to a nobility which ye could purchase, like traders with traders' gold, for little worth is all that hath its price. Let it not be your honour henceforth, whence ye come, but whither ye go. Your will and your feet which seek to surpass you, let these be your new honour. Verily, not that ye have served a prince, of what account are princes now, nor that ye have become a bulwark to that which standeth, that it may stand more firmly. Not that your family have become courtly at courts, and that ye have learned, gay-coloured like the flamingo, to stand long hours in shallow pools. For ability to stand is a merit in courtiers, and all courtiers believe that unto blessedness after death pertaineth permission to sit. Nor even that a spirit called holy led your forefathers into promised lands, which I do not praise. For where the worst of all trees grew, the cross, in that land there is nothing to praise. And verily, wherever this holy spirit led its knights, always in such campaigns did goats and geese and rye-heads and guy-heads run foremost. O my brethren, not backward shall your nobility gaze, but outward. Exiles shall ye be from all fatherlands and forefatherlands. Your children's land shall ye love. Let this love be your new nobility, the undiscovered in the remotest seas. For it do I bid your sails search and search. Unto your children shall ye make amends for being the children of your fathers. All the past shall ye thus redeem. This new table do I place over you. 13. Why should one live? All is vain. To live, that is to thrash straw. To live, that is to burn oneself and yet not get warm. Such ancient babbling still passeth for wisdom. Because it is old, however, and smelleth mustily, therefore is it the more honoured. Even mould ennobleth. Children might thus speak. They shun the fire because it hath burnt them. There is much childishness in the old books of wisdom. And he who ever thrasheth straw, why should he be allowed to rail at thrashing? Such a fool one would have to muzzle. Such persons sit down to the table and bring nothing with them, not even good hunger, and then do they rail, all is vain. But to eat and drink well, my brethren, is verily no vain art. Break up for me the tables of the never joyous ones. 14. To the clean are all things clean, thus say the people. I, however, say unto you, to the swine all things become swinish. Therefore preach the visionaries and bowed heads, whose hearts are also bowed down. The world itself is a filthy monster. For these are all unclean spirits, especially those, however, who have no peace or rest, unless they see the world from the backside, the backworld's men. To those do I say it to the face, although it sound unpleasantly. The world resembleth man in that it hath a backside. So much is true. There is in the world much filth. So much is true. But the world itself is not therefore a filthy monster. There is wisdom in the fact that much in the world smelleth badly. Loathing itself createth wings, and fountain divining powers. In the best there is still something to loathe, and the best is still something that must be surpassed. O my brethren, there is much wisdom in the fact that much filth is in the world. 15. Such sayings did I hear pious backworlds men speak to their consciences, and verily without wickedness or guile, although there is nothing more guileful in the world or more wicked. Let the world be as it is, raise not a finger against it. Let whoever will choke and stab and skin and scrape the people, raise not a finger against it. Thereby will they learn to renounce the world. And thine own reason, this shalt thou thyself stifle and choke, for it is a reason of this world. Thereby wilt thou learn thyself to renounce the world. Shatter, shatter, O my brethren, those old tables of the pious. Tatter the maxims of the world maligners. 16. He who learneth much unlearneth all violent cravings. That do people now whisper to one another in all the dark lanes. Wisdom wearieth. Nothing is worthwhile. Thou shalt not crave. This new table found I hanging even in the public markets. Break up for me, O my brethren, break up also that new table. The weary of the world put it up, and the preachers of death and the jailer, for lo, it is also a sermon for slavery. Because they learned badly and not the best, and everything too early and everything too fast, because they ate badly, from thence hath resulted their ruined stomach. For a ruined stomach is their spirit, it persuadeth to death. For verily, my brethren, the spirit is a stomach. Life is a well of delight, but to him in whom the ruined stomach speaketh, the father of affliction, all fountains are poisoned. To discern, that is delight to the lion-willed. But he who hath become weary is himself merely willed. With him play all the waves. And such is always the nature of weak men. They lose themselves on their way. And at last asketh their weariness, why did we ever go on the way? All is indifferent. To them soundeth it pleasant to have preached in their ears, nothing is worthwhile, ye shall not will. That, however, is a sermon for slavery. O my brethren, a fresh blustering wind cometh Zarathustra unto all way-weary ones. Many noses will he yet make sneeze. Even through walls bloweth my free breath, and in into prisons and imprisoned spirits. Willing emancipateth, for willing is creating, so do I teach, and only for creating shall ye learn. And also the learning shall ye learn only from me, the learning well, He who hath ears, let him hear. 17. There standeth the boat, thither goeth it over, perhaps into vast nothingness. But who willeth to enter into this, perhaps? None of you want to enter into the death boat. How should ye then be world-weary ones? World-weary ones, and have not even withdrawn from the earth. Eager did I ever find you for the earth, amorous still of your own earth-weariness. Not in vain doth your lip hang down, a small worldly wish still sitteth thereon, and in your eye floateth there not a cloudlet of unforgotten earthly bliss? There are on the earth many good inventions, some useful, some pleasant, for their sake is the earth to be loved. And many such good inventions are there, that they are like woman's breasts, useful at the same time and pleasant. Ye world-weary ones, however, ye earth-idlers, you shall one beat with stripes shall one again make you sprightly limbs. For if ye be not invalids or decrepit creatures, of whom the earth is weary, then are ye sly sloths, or dainty sneaking pleasure cats, and if ye will not again run gaily, then shall ye pass away. To the incurable shall one not seek to be a physician, thus teaches Zarathustra, so shall ye pass away. But more courage is needed to make an end than to make a new verse, that do all physicians and poets know well. 18. O my brethren, there are tables which weariness framed, and tables which slothfulness framed, corrupt slothfulness. Although they speak similarly, they want to be heard differently. See this languishing one, only a span breadth is he from his goal. But from weariness hath he lain down obstinately in the dust, this brave one. From weariness yawneth he at the path, at the earth, at the goal, and at himself. Not a step further will he go, this brave one. Now gloweth the sun upon him, and the dogs lick at his sweat, but he lieth there in his obstinacy and preferreth to languish. A span breadth from his goal to languish. Verily, ye will have to drag him into his heaven by the hair of his head, this hero. Better still that ye let him lie where he hath lain down, that sleep may come unto him, the comforter, with cooling patter rain. Let him lie until of his own accord he awakeneth, until of his own accord he repudiateth all weariness, and what weariness hath taught through him. Only, my brethren, see that ye scare the dogs away from him, the idle skulkers and all the swarming vermin. All the swarming vermin of the cultured, that feast on the sweat of every hero. 19. I form circles around me and holy boundaries. Ever fewer ascend with me ever higher mountains. I build a mountain range out of ever holier mountains. But wherever ye would ascend with me, O my brethren, take care lest a parasite ascend with you. A parasite that is a reptile, a creeping, cringing reptile, that trieth to fatten on your infirm and sore places. And this is its art. It divineth where ascending souls are weary. In your trouble and dejection, in your sensitive modesty, doth it build its loathsome nest. Where the strong are weak, where the noble are all too gentle, there buildeth it its loathsome nest. The parasite liveth where the great have small sore places. What is the highest of all species of being, and what is the lowest? The parasite is the lowest species. He, however, who is of the highest species, feedeth most parasites. For the soul which hath the longest ladder, and can go deepest down, how could there fail to be most parasites upon it? The most comprehensive soul, which can run and stray and rove furthest in itself, the most necessary soul, which out of joy flingeth itself into chance, the soul in being which plungeth into becoming, the possessing soul, which seeketh to attain desire and longing, the soul fleeing from itself, which overtaketh itself in the widest circuit, the wisest soul, unto which folly speaketh most sweetly. The soul most self-loving, in which all things have their current and counter-current, their ebb and their flow. Oh, how could the loftiest soul fail to have the worst parasites? 20. Oh, my brethren, am I then cruel? But I say, what falleth, that shall one also push. Everything of today, it falleth, it decayeth. Who would preserve it? But I wish also to push it. Know ye the delight which rolleth stones into precipitous depths? Those men of today, see just how they roll into my depths. A prelude am I to better players. Oh, my brethren, an example. Do according to mine example. And him whom ye do not teach to fly, teach, I pray you, to fall faster. 21. I love the brave, but it is not enough to be a swordsman. One must also know whereon to use swordsmanship. And often is it greater bravery to keep quiet and pass by, that thereby one may reserve oneself for a worthier foe. Ye shall only have foes to be hated, but not foes to be despised. Ye must be proud of your foes. Thus have I already taught. For the worthier foe, O my brethren, shall ye reserve yourselves. Therefore must ye pass by many a one. Especially many of the rabble, who din your ears with noise about people and peoples. Keep your eye clear of their for and against. There is there much right, much wrong. He who looketh on becometh wroth. Therein viewing, therein hewing, they are the same thing. Therefore depart into the forests, and lay your sword to sleep. Go your ways, and let the people and peoples go theirs. Gloomy ways, verily, on which not a single hope glinteth any more. Let there the trader rule, where all that still glittereth is trader's gold. It is the time of kings no longer. That which now calleth itself the people is unworthy of kings. See how these peoples themselves now do, just like the traders. They pick up the smallest advantage out of all kinds of rubbish. They lay lures for one another. They lure things out of one another. That they call good neighborliness. Oh, blessed remote period when a people said to itself, I will be master over peoples. For, my brethren, the best shall rule. The best also willeth to rule. And where the teaching is different, there the best is lacking. 22. If they had bread for nothing, alas, for what would they cry? Their maintainment, that is their true entertainment, and they shall have it hard. Beasts of prey are they. In their working there is even plundering. In their earning there is even overreaching. Therefore shall they have it hard. Better beasts of prey shall they thus become, subtler, cleverer, more manlike, for man is the best beast of prey. All the animals hath man already robbed of their virtues. That is why of all animals it hath been hardest for man. Only the birds are still beyond him, and if man should yet learn to fly, alas, to what height would his rapacity fly? 23. Thus would I have man and woman, fit for war the one, fit for maternity the other, both, however, fit for dancing with head and legs. And lost be the day to us in which a measure hath not been danced, and false be every truth which hath not had laughter along with it. 24. Your marriage arranging, see that it be not a bad arranging. Ye have arranged too hastily. So there followeth therefrom marriage-breaking. And better marriage-breaking than marriage-bending, marriage-lying. Thus spake a woman unto me. Indeed I broke the marriage, but first did the marriage break me. The badly paired found I ever the most revengeful. They make every one suffer for it that they no longer run singly. On that account want I the honest ones to say to one another, We love each other. Let us see to it that we maintain our love, or shall our pledging be blundering? Give us a set term and a small marriage, that we may see if we are fit for the great marriage. It is a great matter always to be twain. Thus do I counsel all honest ones, and what would be my love to the Superman and to all that is to come, if I should counsel and speak otherwise? Not only to propagate yourselves onwards, but upwards, thereto, O my brethren, may the garden of marriage help you. 25. He who hath grown wise concerning old origins, lo, he will at last seek after the fountains of the future and new origins. O my brethren, not long will it be until new peoples shall arise, and new fountains shall rush down into new depths. For the earthquake, it choketh up many wells. It causeth much languishing, but it bringeth also to light inner powers and secrets. The earthquake discloseth new fountains. In the earthquake of old peoples, new fountains burst forth. And whoever calleth out, Lo, here is a well for many thirsty ones, one heart for many longing ones, one will for many instruments, around him collecteth a people, that is to say, many attempting ones. Who can command? Who must obey? That is there attempted. Ah, with what long seeking and solving and failing and learning and reattempting. Human society, it is an attempt, so I teach, a long seeking. It seeketh, however, the ruler. An attempt, my brethren, and no contract. Destroy, I pray you, destroy that word of the soft-hearted and half. 26. O my brethren, with whom lieth the greatest danger to the whole human future? Is it not with the good and just? As those who say and feel in their hearts, we already know what is good and just. We possess it also. Woe to those who still seek thereafter. And whatever harm the wicked may do, the harm of the good is the harmfulest harm. And whatever harm the world maligners may do, the harm of the good is the harmfulest harm. O my brethren, into the hearts of the good and just looked someone once on a time who said, They are the Pharisees. But people did not understand him. The good and just themselves were not free to understand him. Their spirit was imprisoned in their good conscience. The stupidity of the good is unfathomably wise. It is the truth, however, that the good must be Pharisees. They have no choice. The good must crucify him who deviseth his own virtue. That is the truth. The second one, however, who discovered their country, the country, heart, and soil of the good and just, it was he who asked, Whom do they hate most? The Creator hate they most, him who breaketh the tables and old values, the breaker, him they call the law-breaker. For the good they cannot create, they are always the beginning of the end. They crucify him who writeth new values on new tables, they sacrifice unto themselves the future, they crucify the whole human future. The good, they have always been the beginning of the end. 27. O my brethren, have ye also understood this word, and what I once said of the last man? With whom lieth the greatest danger to the whole human future? Is it not with the good and just? Break up, I pray you, the good and just. O my brethren, have ye understood also this word? 28. Ye flee from me, ye are frightened. Ye tremble at this word? O my brethren, when I enjoined you to break up the good and the tables of the good, then only did I embark man on his high seas. And now only cometh unto him the great terror, the great outlook, the great sickness, the great nausea, the great sea sickness. False shores and false securities did the good teach you. In the lies of the good were ye born and bred. Everything hath been radically contorted and distorted by the good. But he who discovered the country of man discovered also the country of man's future. Now shall ye be sailors for me, brave, patient. Keep yourselves up betimes, my brethren, learn to keep yourselves up. The sea stormeth, many seek to raise themselves again by you. The sea stormeth, all is in the sea. Well, cheer up, ye old seamen hearts. What of fatherland? Thither striveth our helm where our children's land is. Thitherwards, stormier than the sea, stormeth our great longing. 29. Why so hard? Said to the diamond one day the charcoal. Are we then not near relatives? Why so soft? O my brethren, thus do I ask you. Are ye then not my brethren? Why so soft, so submissive and yielding? Why is there so much negation and abnegation in your hearts? Why is there so little fate in your looks? And if ye will not be fates and inexorable ones, how can ye one day conquer with me? And if your hardness will not glance and cut and chip to pieces, how can ye one day create with me? For the creators are hard, and blessedness must it seem to you to press your hand upon millenniums as upon wax. Blessedness to write upon the will of millenniums as upon brass, harder than brass, nobler than brass. Entirely hard is only the noblest. This new table, O my brethren, put I up over you. Become hard. 30. O thou my will, thou change of every need, my needfulness, preserve me from all small victories. Thou fatedness of my soul, which I call fate, thou in me, over me, preserve and spare me for one great fate. And thy last greatness, my will, spare it for thy last, that thou mayest be inexorable in thy victory. Ah, who hath not succumbed to his victory? Ah, whose eye hath not bedimmed in this intoxicated twilight? Ah, whose foot hath not faltered and forgotten in victory how to stand? That I may one day be ready and ripe in the great noontide, ready and ripe like the glowing ore, the lightning-bearing cloud and the swelling milk udder. Ready for myself and for my most hidden will, a bow eager for its arrow, an arrow eager for its star. A star, ready and ripe in its noontide, glowing, pierced, blessed by annihilating sun arrows. A sun itself, and an inexorable sun will, ready for annihilation in victory. O will, thou change of every need, my needfulness, spare me for one great victory. Thus spake Zarathustra. 57. The Convalescent. 1. One morning, not long after his return to his cave, Zarathustra sprang up from his couch like a madman, crying with a frightful voice, and acting as if someone still lay on the couch who did not wish to rise. Zarathustra's voice also resounded in such a manner that his animals came to him frightened, and out of all the neighboring caves and lurking places all the creatures slipped away, flying, fluttering, creeping or leaping, according to their variety of foot or wing. Zarathustra, however, spake these words, Up, abysmal thought, out of my depth, I am thy cock and morning dawn, thou overslept reptile, up, up, my voice shall soon crow thee awake. Unbind the fetters of thine ears, listen, for I wish to hear thee, up, up, there is thunder enough to make the very graves listen. And rub the sleep and all the dimness and blindness out of thine eyes. Hear me also with thine eyes. My voice is a medicine even for those born blind. And once thou art awake, then shalt thou ever remain awake. It is not my custom to awake great-grandmothers out of their sleep that I may bid them sleep on. Thou stirrest, stretchest thyself, wheezest. Up, up! Not wheeze shalt thou, but speak unto me. Zarathustra calleth thee, Zarathustra the godless. I, Zarathustra, the advocate of living, the advocate of suffering, the advocate of the circuit, thee do I call my most abysmal thought. Joy to me! Thou comest, I hear thee. Mine abyss speaketh, my lowest depth have I turned over into the light. Joy to me! Come hither, give me thy hand. Ha! Let be! Aha! Disgust, 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 alas to me! 2. Hardly, however, had Zarathustra spoken these words when he fell down as one dead, and remained long as one dead. When, however, he again came to himself, then was he pale and trembling, and remained lying. And for long he would neither eat nor drink. This condition continued for 7 days. His animals, however, did not leave him day or night, except that the eagle flew forth to fetch food. And what it fetched and foraged, it laid on Zarathustra's couch, so that Zarathustra at last lay among yellow and red berries, grapes, rosy apples, sweet-smelling herbage, and pine-cones. At his feet, however, 2 lambs were stretched, which the eagle had with difficulty carried off from their shepherds. At last, after 7 days, Zarathustra raised himself upon his couch, took a rosy apple in his hand, smelt it, and found its smell pleasant. Then did his animals think the time had come to speak unto him. O Zarathustra, said they, now hast thou lain thus for 7 days with heavy eyes. Wilt thou not set thyself again upon thy feet? Step out of thy cave. The world waiteth for thee as a garden. The wind playeth with heavy fragrance, which seeketh for thee, and all brooks would like to run after thee. All things long for thee, since thou hast remained alone for 7 days. Step forth out of thy cave. All things want to be thy physicians. Did perhaps a new knowledge come to thee, a bitter, grievous knowledge? Like leavened dough layest thou, thy soul arose and swelled beyond all its bounds. O, mine animals, answered Zarathustra, talk on thus and let me listen. It refresheth me so to hear your talk. Where there is talk, there is the world as a garden unto me. How charming it is that there are words and tones. Are not words and tones rainbows and seeming bridges twixt the eternally separated? To each soul belongeth another world. To each soul is every other soul a back world. Among the most alike doth semblance deceive most delightfully, for the smallest gap is most difficult to bridge over. For me, how could there be an outside of me? There is no outside, but this we forget on hearing tones. How delightful it is that we forget. Have not names and tones been given unto things that man may refresh himself with them? It is a beautiful folly, speaking. Therewith danceth man over everything. How lovely is all speech and all falsehoods of tones. With tones danceth our love on variegated rainbows. O Zarathustra, said then his animals, to those who think like us, things all dance themselves. They come and hold out the hand and laugh and flee and return. Everything goeth, everything returneth. Eternally rolleth the wheel of existence. Everything dieth, everything blossometh forth again. Eternally runneth on the year of existence. Everything breaketh, everything is integrated anew. Eternally buildeth itself the same house of existence. All things separate, all things again greet one another. Eternally true to itself remaineth the ring of existence. Every moment beginneth existence. Around every here rolleth the ball there. The middle is everywhere. Crooked is the path of eternity. O ye wags and barrel organs, answered Zarathustra, and smiled once more, how well do ye know what had to be fulfilled in 7 days? And how that monster crept into my throat and choked me, but I bit off its head and spat it away from me. And ye have made a liar lay out of it. Now, however, do I lie here, still exhausted with that biting and spitting away, still sick with mine own salvation. And ye looked on at it all? O mine animals, are ye also cruel? Did ye like to look at my great pain as men do? For man is the cruelest animal. At tragedies, bullfights, and crucifixions hath he hitherto been happiest on earth. And when he invented his hell, behold, that was his heaven on earth. When the great man crieth, immediately runneth the little man thither, and his tongue hangeth out of his mouth for very lusting. He, however, calleth it his pity. The little man, especially the poet, how passionately doth he accuse life in words. Hearken to him, but do not fail to hear the delight which is in all accusation. Such accusers of life, them life overcometh with a glance of the eye. Thou lovest me, saith the insolent one, wait a little, as yet have I no time for thee. Towards himself man is the cruelest animal, and in all who call themselves sinners and bearers of the cross and penitents, do not overlook the voluptuousness in their plaints and accusations. And I myself, do I thereby want to be man's accuser? Ah, mine animals, this only have I learned hitherto, that for man his baddest is necessary for his best. That all that is baddest is the best power, and the hardest stone for the highest creator, and that man must become better and badder. Not to this torture stake was I tied, that I know man is bad, but I cried as no one hath yet cried. Ah, that his baddest is so very small, ah, that his best is so very small. The great disgust at man, it strangled me and had crept into my throat, and what the soothsayer had presaged, all is alike, nothing is worthwhile, knowledge strangleth. A long twilight limped on before me, a fatally weary, fatally intoxicated sadness, which spake with yawning mouth, Eternally he returneth, the man of whom thou art weary, the small man. So yawned my sadness, and dragged its foot, and could not go to sleep. A cavern became the human earth to me, its breast caved in. Everything living became to me human dust and bones and mouldering past. My sighing sat on all human graves, and could no longer arise. My sighing and questioning croaked and choked, and gnawed and nagged day and night. Ah, man returneth eternally, the small man returneth eternally. Naked had I once seen both of them, the greatest man and the smallest man, all too like one another, all too human, even the greatest man. All too small, even the greatest man, that was my disgust at man, and the eternal return also of the smallest man, that was my disgust at all existence. Ah, disgust, disgust, disgust! Thus spake Zarathustra, and sighed and shuddered, for he remembered his sickness. Then did his animals prevent him from speaking further. Do not speak further, thou convalescent, so answered his animals, but go out where the world waiteth for thee like a garden. Go out unto the roses, the bees, and the flocks of doves, especially, however, unto the singing birds, to learn singing from them. For singing is for the convalescent, the sound ones may talk, and when the sound also wants songs, then want they other songs than the convalescent. O ye wags and barrel organs, do be silent, answered Zarathustra, and smiled at his animals. How well ye know what consolation I devised for myself in 7 days. That I have to sing once more, that consolation did I devise for myself, and this convalescence. Would ye also make another lyre lay thereof? Do not talk further, answered his animals once more. Rather, thou convalescent, prepare for thyself first a lyre, a new lyre. For behold, O Zarathustra, for thy new lays there are needed new lyres. Sing and bubble over, O Zarathustra, heal thy soul with new lays, that thou mayest bear thy great fate, which hath not yet been anyone's fate. For thine animals know it well, O Zarathustra, who thou art and must become. Behold, thou art the teacher of the eternal return, that is now thy fate. that thou must be the first to teach this teaching. How could this great fate not be thy greatest danger and infirmity? Behold, we know what thou teachest, that all things eternally return, and ourselves with them, and that we have already existed times without number, and all things with us. Thou teachest that there is a great year of becoming, a prodigy of a great year. It must, like a sand glass, ever turn up anew, that it may anew run down and run out. So that all those years are like one another in the greatest and also in the smallest, so that we ourselves, in every great year, are like ourselves in the greatest and also in the smallest. And if thou wouldst now die, O Zarathustra, behold, we know also how thou wouldst then speak to thyself, but thine animals beseech thee not to die yet. Thou wouldst speak, and without trembling, buoyant rather with bliss, for a great weight and worry would be taken from thee, thou patientest one. Now do I die and disappear, wouldst thou say, and in a moment I am nothing. Souls are as mortal as bodies. But the plexus of causes returneth in which I am intertwined. It will again create me. I myself pertain to the causes of the eternal return. I come again with this sun, with this earth, with this eagle, with this serpent, not to a new life, or a better life, or a similar life. I come again eternally to this identical and self-same life, in its greatest and its smallest, to teach again the eternal return of all things, to speak again the word of the great noontide of earth and man, to announce again to man the Superman. I have spoken my word, I break down by my word, so willeth mine eternal fate, as announcer do I succumb. The hour hath now come for the down-goer to bless himself. Thus endeth Zarathustra's down-going. When the animals had spoken these words, they were silent and waited, so that Zarathustra might say something to them. But Zarathustra did not hear that they were silent. On the contrary, he lay quietly with closed eyes like a person sleeping, although he did not sleep, for he communed just then with his soul. The serpent, however, and the eagle, when they found him silent in such wise, respected the great stillness around him, and prudently retired. 58. The Great Longing. O my soul, I have taught thee to say today as once on a time and formerly, and to dance thy measure over every here and there and yonder. O my soul, I delivered thee from all by-places. I brushed down from thee dust and spiders and twilight. O my soul, I washed the petty shame and the by-place virtue from thee, and persuaded thee to stand naked before the eyes of the sun. With the storm that is called spirit did I blow over thy surging sea. All clouds did I blow away from it. I strangled even the strangler called sin. O my soul, I gave thee the right to say nay, like the storm, and to say yea, as the open heavens saith yea. Calm as the light remainest thou, and now walkest through denying storms. O my soul, I restored to thee liberty over the created and the uncreated, and who knoweth, as thou knowest, the voluptuousness of the future. O my soul, I taught thee the contempt which doth not come like worm-eating, the great, the loving contempt which loveth most where it contemneth most. O my soul, I taught thee so to persuade that thou persuadest even the grounds themselves to thee, like the sun which persuadeth even the sea to its height. O my soul, I have taken from thee all obeying and knee-bending and homage-paying. I have myself given thee the names Change of Need and Fate. O my soul, I have given thee new names and gay-coloured playthings. I have called thee Fate and the Circuit of Circuits and the Navel String of Time and the Azure Bell. O my soul, to thy domain gave I all wisdom to drink, all new wines, and also all immemorially old strong wines of wisdom. O my soul, Every sun shed I upon thee, and every night, and every silence, and every longing. Then grewest thou up for me as a vine. O my soul, exuberant and heavy dost thou now stand forth, a vine with swelling udders and full clusters of brown, golden grapes. Filled and weighted by thy happiness, waiting from superabundance and yet ashamed of thy waiting. O my soul, there is nowhere a soul which could be more loving and more comprehensive and more extensive. Where could future and past be closer together than with thee? O my soul, I have given thee everything, and all my hands have become empty by thee. And now sayest thou to me, smiling and full of melancholy, which of us oweth thanks? Doth the giver not owe thanks because the receiver received? Is bestowing not a necessity? Is receiving not pitying? O my soul, I understand the smiling of thy melancholy. Thine overabundance itself now stretcheth out longing hands. Thy fullness looketh forth over raging seas, and seeketh and waiteth. The longing of over-fullness looketh forth from the smiling heaven of thine eyes. And verily, O my soul, who could see thy smiling and not melt into tears? The angels themselves melt into tears through the over-graciousness of thy smiling. Thy graciousness and over-graciousness is it which will not complain and weep. And yet, O my soul, longeth thy smiling for tears, and thy trembling mouth for sobs. Is not all weeping complaining, and all complaining accusing? Thus speakest thou to thyself, and therefore, O my soul, wilt thou rather smile than pour forth thy grief. Than in gushing tears pour forth all thy grief concerning thy fullness, and concerning the craving of the vine for the vintager and vintage knife. But wilt thou not weep? Wilt thou not weep forth thy purple melancholy? Then wilt thou have to sing, O my soul, behold, I smile myself who foretell thee this. Thou wilt have to sing with passionate song, until all seas turn calm to hearken unto thy longing. Until over calm longing seas the bark glideth, the golden marvel, around the gold of which all good, bad, and marvellous things frisk. Also many large and small animals, and everything that hath light marvellous feet, so that it can run on violet-blue paths. Towards the golden marvel, the spontaneous bark, and its master, he, however, is the vintager who waiteth with the diamond vintage knife. Thy great deliverer, O my soul, the nameless one, for whom future songs only will find names, and verily already hath thy breath the fragrance of future songs. Already glowest thou and dreamest, already drinkest thou thirstily at all deep echoing wells of consolation, already reposeth thy melancholy in the bliss of future songs. O my soul, now have I given thee all, and even my last possession, and all my hands have become empty by thee, that I bade thee sing, behold, that was my last thing to give. That I bade thee sing. Say now, say which of us now oweth thanks. Better still, however, sing unto me. Sing, O my soul, and let me thank thee. Thus spake Zarathustra. 59. The Second Dance Song. 1. Into thine eyes gazed I lately, O life. Gold saw I gleam in thy night eyes, my heart stood still with delight. A golden bark saw I gleam on darkened waters, a sinking, drinking, re-blinking golden swing bark. At my dance-frantic foot dost thou cast a glance, a laughing, questioning, melting, thrown glance. Twice only movedst thou thy rattle with thy little hands, then did my feet swing with dance-fury. My heels reared aloft, my toes they hearkened. Thee they would know. Hath not the dancer his ear in his toe? Unto thee did I spring, then fledst thou back from my bound, and towards me wave thy fleeing, flying tresses round. Away from thee did I spring, and from thy snaky tresses. Then stoodst thou there half-turned, and in thine eye caresses. With crooked glances dost thou teach me crooked courses, on crooked courses